Open to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. We're going to take our thoughts from there this evening. All right. John, chapter 7. Just a couple of verses tonight, beginning in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Amen. Let's go to the Lord now, just ask his blessing on our thoughts this evening. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for your presence in our lives, that you're not a distant God, but one who's very near, one who knows about us, knows us altogether better than we know ourselves. And Lord, we thank you that you love us with a love which cannot be measured. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and willingly gave of himself, that through his death and resurrection, we might know our sins forgiven, a guilty conscience made clean, and the hope of eternal life. Lord, we pray that tonight, in the few moments that we have remaining together, that you would remove from our minds anything that would distract. May we be conscious of your presence here with us, listening for the voice of your Holy Spirit as he speaks to our heart through your word. Do us good, we pray, for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. My text today is just actually two verses. Verses easily read, easily passed over, and yet it's one of the more dramatic scenes in all of Christ's ministry. In the early years, Jesus had tried to avoid the public glare as much as possible, or things he wanted to do, things that he wanted to say before he attracted the attention of his enemies. Most of his early ministry took place far away from the cities, in the hills of Galilee, away from the places of intrigue and power. But now, when we come to this passage here in John chapter 7, his time on earth is actually drawing to its close. And he stands up in the temple on one of its busiest days in the entire year, and he calls out with a loud voice for everyone to hear, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." I'm trying to imagine what it must have felt like to be there on that occasion. For somebody to speak out like that in the temple grounds, you could just imagine the silence that might have swept across the place as everybody turned to look and see who dared to call out in such a place as that. But with these few simple words, Jesus issues an invitation of such breadth that its message still astonishes us today. Jesus goes on to say, in verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But these two verses, I've got two simple thoughts for us tonight. Two things I want to call your attention to. Firstly, the spring, the fountain, if you will, the source, the beginning point of spiritual life. That's in verse 37. And then, secondly, the river, or the outflow, the consequence, the results of that spiritual life. So firstly, the spring in verse 37. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." To whom is Jesus speaking? He says, "If any man," "if anyone." In other words, he's expressing the invitation in the widest possible terms. It's not to a select few, not to just his closest friends and family, not to his own people only, not to the great and good of the community, No, he gives his invitation out to anyone, whether highborn or low, rich or poor, young or old, without regard for their social class or their ethnic identity or any other distinction. There's just one stipulation he sets forth. If anyone thirsts, that's the one requirement needed to come to Jesus, in a sense. You've got to be thirsty. Now, what kind of thirst is Jesus talking about? Well, it's not the thirst that you would have maybe after working out all day in the hot sun. And you've got your mouth is dry and your lips are parched, none of that. No, he's talking, of course, about spiritual thirst. Now, what does that spiritual thirst feel like? What's it look like? It could be an anxiety within your soul. Maybe a sense of the guilt of sin. A sense of your unfitness before God. It could be a fear of the future and what lies ahead, or fear of dying and what is to follow. God can use any of these things to create a thirst within us. Too many people, not knowing the true nature of their thirst, are trying to satisfy it by drinking at all the wrong fountains. It might be the fountain of money or pleasure. It could be power or social status, people striving after that. Self-esteem, self-indulgence, alcohol, drugs, opiates. We've seen stuff all over the States this time that we've been a bit shocked at how much is available now for anybody to pick up. Addictions, any sort of this. Try as they might, though, these things never satisfy that thirst. John D. Rockefeller's gone down in history as the world's first billionaire. He was the founder of Standard Oil. At the time when he was its CEO, it was the largest company in the whole world. Someone once asked Rockefeller, "How much money is enough?" You might know his answer. Just one more dollar. You see, the things of this world never satisfy. We're always craving more. None of these springs that I've mentioned ever brings the satisfaction they first promised. You want to know why? Because they're all the wrong springs. Jesus says, "Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be within him a well of water springing up unto life everlasting." So let me ask you again, who is Jesus speaking to? He says here, if anyone thirst. Now think about it for a moment. Think about that description. Was there ever a person, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, born on this earth, that this description doesn't fit? Was there anyone who ever thirsted for something more? Was there ever anyone who didn't have desires that this world couldn't satisfy? Was there ever a person born who did not have a spiritual need? C.S. Lewis once said, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, then the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." Jesus is saying, if you sense within yourself a need, if you have a thirst which nothing in this world can satisfy, then come to me. I am the one who can meet the deepest needs of your soul. What you need is not money or more money or pleasure or self-importance or any other such thing. What you need is the Savior. If anyone thirsts, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. But of course, you must be aware of your thirst. A few years ago, there was an outdoor adventure TV series called Walk in the Nile. I think it was either the BBC or one of the other channels over there. I enjoy watching documentaries that take me around to places in the world, particularly places that I'm not likely ever to see in my life. This particular TV show, there was an ex-Marine commando named Levison Woods. And he took it upon himself to trek the entire length of the Nile River, all 4,250 miles of it on foot, through some of the most inhospitable and dangerous territory on earth. Well, I got easily hooked into this series and began watching it week after week as he made his way from one region of Africa to the next. And a little way into his trek, he was joined by one of his friends, Matthew Power. Now, Matthew Power was an American. He was an American journalist, one of these journalists that goes around the world to extreme places and does stories and news reports and things like that. So he himself was used to outdoor and adventure and putting himself in extreme situations. Together, they were walking across the African plains, and one day, Matthew Power complained of being a bit tired and having a headache. So they decided they would quit early for the day and struck camp and go to bed that night. The next morning, we're watching this in the episode, the next morning they all woke up and went only to discover that Matthew Power had died in his sleep during the night. It was a shock, and you could just see the despair. We all felt it watching this episode. And when the doctors did their post-mortem, they determined that he died from dehydration and heat stroke. Matthew Power had been thirsty, but he didn't know it, and it had killed him. Now think about that for a minute. How many people in our world today are dying because they're unaware of their thirst, the true nature of their spiritual need? Jesus is the fountain. He's the spring. He's the source of true spiritual life. Jesus says simply, "Come to me and drink. Leave behind your pride and your self-reliance. Leave behind your own understanding about things, your earthly dreams, your wants and wishes, your ambitions, and come to Jesus in simple, humble faith, and you will receive." Now, the great Bishop Ryle, he was bishop in Liverpool many years ago. He was preaching from this passage, and he had an application for Christians. He encourages Christians to learn from Christ's example. He says, "When you go out to share the gospel with others, offer Christ boldly, freely, fully, broadly, unconditionally to all thirsting souls." He said the gospel is too often spoiled in the presentation of it. Some fence it round with conditions and keep sinners at a distance. Others direct sinners wrongly and send them to something else beside or instead of Christ. He only copies his Lord, who says, "If anyone feels his sins, let him come at once, straight, direct, to Christ himself." So then, the beginning point for our spiritual life is first to discover that we're thirsty. That in yourself, you are spiritually empty. You're a guilty sinner in need of salvation. And that when you come to Jesus in faith, you receive from him all that you truly need. Forgiveness, mercy, new life, and all the blessings that flow from it. Verse 37, then Jesus is speaking to us about the source, the beginning point of spiritual life. Now, in verse 38, he speaks of the results, the consequences of that spiritual life. The consequences of our coming to him and taking him up on his offer of salvation. Verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus says, "as the scripture hath said." Well, what scripture is he talking about? Well, of course, you know that in Jesus' day, the New Testament had not yet been written. So the only scripture that existed was the Old Testament. Try as you might, you're going to have difficulty finding the exact verse. Because you see, what Jesus is doing here is not quoting just one specific verse, but he's giving us a general summary of the invitation that exists in the Old Testament. One verse in the Old Testament that might have been on his mind is Isaiah 58 and verse 11. where it says, "The Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." Jesus here in our text is describing the life of heaven like a bubbling spring of clear, fresh water. There are few things in this world more refreshing than a drink of clear water. Now, you live here in Kansas. I think you can get pretty hot here. Certainly a lot hotter than we do. It was plenty hot out there for us today. When you're hot and thirsty, you can get a fizzy sweet drink, but that doesn't quench your thirst. Anything like a clear drink of a drink of clear, fresh water. Years ago when I was in high school, many years ago, I lived in Miami, Florida. We left Scotland when I was halfway through high school and finished my high school years there. When I was a senior, the school took us all on a summer camp to North Florida. Just before the senior year was to begin, I think it was some kind of a bonding experience to bring us all together as seniors for our last year in school. Anyways, one day they took us to Itchituckney Springs to go inner tubing. I remember getting the bus and them taking us to the source of the spring. Driving in a school bus in North Florida in the summer without air conditioning is a very hot and sticky experience. By the time we arrived at the source of the springs, you could look out and you could see that clear water bubbling out of the ground. It looked so good and so inviting. We all jumped in without hesitation. The water was freezing. It was so cold, but it woke us up instantly. We were all refreshed and we were ready to go inner tubing down the river. We couldn't see the source of the spring. It was hidden underground. But we could all see and experience the wonder of those springs as they bubbled up out of the ground and spilled out for all to see and for all to enjoy. Just as Jesus pours into your soul eternal life, so that life comes bubbling up and spilling out spontaneously. Just like the springs at Itchituckney, spiritual life can't stay hidden. It can't help but overflow. Some people will tell me, you've probably heard them tell you that too. "Oh yes, I believe in Jesus." But you don't see the slightest indication of him in their lives anywhere. Nothing in their lives or in what they do or in what they say. I don't put much stock in a testimony like that, and somehow I don't think the Lord does either. You see, when Jesus truly comes into a life, something of his spirit, something of his character will be seen. Something of it will spill out in your attitudes, in your choices, in your habits. Now let me ask you this tonight, as we're discussing Jesus describing life as a bubbling spring of water. Is that an accurate description of your life? Can others see Jesus spilling out in what you do and in what you say? Or would they be surprised to learn that you go to church? If no one can detect anything of the Spirit of Christ in you, then you've got to wonder if you're even tapped into the source. The life that Jesus here describes is a life that is actively flowing, a life that can't be contained. It's a force that can't be held back. It's got to find expression. Spiritual life is a life that's meant to flow out. It's part of Christ's plan for us. It's part of his purpose for you and for me. We are to be constantly, continuously flowing out, sharing Jesus with others. So how is it with you? Like I said, tonight I suspect I'm speaking to the choir. But have you sensed within yourself a thirst, an awareness of your spiritual need? Then I invite you to come to Jesus today and take freely of the water of life. But perhaps you sit here tonight as a Christian, more likely so. You've already experienced the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. That life is not to be kept hidden away just for your own personal benefit. Living water is water that's flowing freely. It's water that's not stagnant, not sterile. It's water that runs clean and clear and fresh and brings life and refreshment to all it touches. This living water from Jesus is a gift intended for all. The life of the Spirit is a blessing to be shared. So let's seek to share the blessings of eternal life with others, that they too might know and experience for themselves the love, the joy, the peace that comes in knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Okay, Pastor?
My brother would always tell the story. This is my brother that lived in Florida. He was going through some very, very deep problems in his life. And there was a fellow at work who had claimed to be a Christian. He boldly proclaimed Christ. And my brother, in talking with him, he tells the story how that he said, Richard, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And what my brother said, Richard Miller was his name, said to him is, take it to Jesus. And he said, you know, that made such an impression. And I would just say that one of the things that we need to realize, you know, not only do we have the truth, but we have the giver of life in our lives. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And that's why when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And sometimes we get so philosophical, you know, and we want to win the arguments. And people have some crazy arguments. And sometimes what we need to just say, you know, listen, you need to come to Jesus. And Jesus will meet your every need. And you know, that's so true with us too, right? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to where I'm thinking, I don't know what to do. And I'm reminded where Jesus said, you just come. And you come unto me. And think about this. The Lord Jesus was not just some religious teacher. He was basically expressing to anybody who would listen and who would respond that he is the answer. And so we must do everything we can. Let's stand together and let's pray and let's ask God's blessing and that we would have wisdom to come unto him. And the pianist is going to play in a moment with our head bowed and our eyes closed. And maybe you would say, I just need to take it to Jesus. You know, there's nothing complicated about that. It is very true. And he will satisfy the thirst that we would have. Now, Father, I just ask that you would just work in our hearts. Lord, there's not many here tonight. And Lord, you don't need many. Lord, you are everything. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your presence. And we thank you that we do not have to go through our lives and through our circumstances alone. You have promised us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And how the Lord Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Lord, we come and we ask that you would just help us to recognize that if we have the Holy Spirit, we have the ability by your grace to be able to have living waters flowing from us. And we ask that you would work in our hearts. And Lord, even as we, with head bowed and eyes closed, as the pianist plays, help us, Lord, to truly lift up our eyes, looking to you as the pianist plays.